A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and find life burdensome, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. The opening lines of this gospel: that God has revealed to little ones what is hidden from the wise and the learned. So let me reflect on that for a few moments and wonder what it means to us. If you want to study the scripture, if you want to understand the word, if you want to research the Bible, you go to the wise and the learned. You consult the scholars. We do it all the time. We look for the wise and the learned to understand the meaning of words in the gospel, its original language, the environment, and what was truly meant way back in the time of Jesus and what it means today. And that's to consult the wise and the learned. But the gospel said there are secrets and understandings of the gospel not revealed to the wise and the learned, given only to the little ones. And therefore, to understand the gospel, we'll consult the wise and the learned. To experience the gospel, we'll go to the little ones. And the little ones are those who follow the word true to themselves. So let me look at this and consider its teaching value. Many of you are familiar with Dorothy Day. Dorothy Day died in 1980. She was 83 years old, an extraordinary woman. When she died, people that belonged to her in the New York area wanted to promote her canonization. And the church actually named her as a servant of God, which is a level of recognition for the inspiration of her life, a step on the way to sainthood. Dorothy Day was born in 1897. As a young person, her family moved. You'll find this in her book, an inspiring book called The Long Loneliness. As a young woman, child and her family, they moved to San Francisco, to Los Angeles, to Chicago. But she was born in Brooklyn, and she was forever a fully fledged New Yorker. Eventually, she settled in New York. As a young woman, she went through a kind of a bohemian life. She was a radical social reformer. She was arrested a number of times, put in jail for demonstrating for the poor, the disenfranchised. When her child was born, little girl Tamar, in 1926, she went through a huge change in her life. She became a Catholic and had her child baptized in the Catholic Church. She was still lost and she was still searching for the meaning of her life. And you'll find in her story, in The Long Loneliness, 1933, in the middle of a Great Depression, we talk about sacrifices we have to make now. In 1933, we were in the middle of a Great Depression, 26% unemployment. Poverty was rife. People were struggling fiercely to find a way of life. And Dorothy went to Washington, D.C. to report. She was a reporter for Commonweal, a Catholic magazine. She was reporting on a hunger demonstration, a hunger strike in Washington. She was so perplexed at that time. She recalls going into the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception. Desperate as she looked back on her life, she was lost, she was in darkness, she was a little one. Looking back over her life, she had a failed marriage. She was haunted by remembrance of her abortion. She had a second long-term relationship where she really loved this man and with whom she had a daughter, Tamar, and she lost him. She was empty, she was in crisis, she was broken, she was in darkness, and she prayed fervently in a crisis moment in her life. Prayed that God would show her some way, that she would experience the Word of God. Not to learn about the Word of God, but to be touched, to be transformed by the Word of God. A transformation that could only happen when she faced the reality of who she was at the time. Asking God to give meaning to her life, to speak to her about her destiny. What did God want of her in her life? She returned to New York. And when she went to her apartment, sitting on the steps outside her apartment was a man called Peter Morin, an immigrant from France. And they met, and together they founded the Catholic Worker. And she became an incredible, inspiring reformer, caring for the poor and those who were lost. She lived that life until she was 83 years old. One of the great teachings in the life of Dorothy Day is she found the meaning of her life in a time of great darkness, a time of discouragement, a time of emptiness, a time when she looked back over her life and she saw the chaos of her life. She saw the contradiction of her life, disturbance, the turmoil. And she prayed in this darkness that she would experience the Word of God. She would experience her destiny, that God would show her what God wished of her in her life. She could only discover this when she faced her true self. And that's the teaching of this gospel. Thomas Merton, when he was director of novices at Gethsemane, at the Cistercian monastery, the monks, the first thing he would teach young aspiring monks is, you have to learn who you are. Henry Nouwen, in his wonderful book, Home Tonight, wonders, how do we discover who we truly are? There are many voices telling us who we are. In the social order, if you're talented, people will tell you that's who you are. If you have money and you have social status, people will tell you that's who you are. If your reputation is widely celebrated and you receive awards, people will tell you that's who you are. But Henry Nouwen, in his book Home Tonight, says, you must come home to yourself. You must face and discover and own the person you truly are. And perhaps in some inspired moment of grace, I am in my chapel and I look back over my life and I see the things that I'm ashamed of. I see my failures. I see my struggles. I see the contradictions of my life. And when we discover this part of ourselves, we feel worthless. We feel like a failure. But then you hear the voice of God saying, you are beloved. Not because you're successful, not because you're famous, not because you're popular, not because you have money or you have success. You are beloved as you are in the richness and poverty of your humanity. When you face your true self and you discover that in your true self you are loved by God, you don't have to earn it. You are made in the image of God, whoever you are, whatever your struggles in life, the things which discourage you in your life, the things that you hide, that you don't want to bring up to the surface, all the things that you don't want to admit about your life, confessional moments, when you kneel down and you go to confession and you tell the priest who you really are. It's not who the world thinks you are. It's not man or woman of the year. This is the real person. That's when you experience the word of God. Only then are you one of the little ones who will begin to know the richness, the gift, the grace of God's infinite love. But if you don't want to look at your life, you don't want to look back over your selfishness and your mistakes, you don't want to look at what you're ashamed to look at, you're denying who you are, and therefore you will not experience the infinite love of God. You think you have to earn it. Desmond Tutu, in his book about God, says, the danger is we make God in our image. We have to prove ourselves. We have to win the award. We have to look good. We have to have a public image, which is necessary, but it's not real. So the Word of God today says, consult the scholars if you want to understand the Word of God. Look at the little one inside of yourselves if you want to experience the Word of God. If you want to hear the voice of God saying, you are beloved, all your mistakes, all your foolishness, all the emptiness of your life, Dorothy Day was transformed and reborn in her darkness. When she looked at her life and she faced all of the chaos of her life, then God led her
led her in her poverty to become the saint that she was. It appears in the Gospels over and over again. In the 22nd chapter of Luke's Gospel, you have this extraordinary statement that Jesus makes to Peter. But he doesn't call him Peter, he calls him Simon. He's looking at his humanity. He's looking at who he really is. And he says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has sought to take you and to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And after you have repented, then you will strengthen your brethren." You must first fail. Walk through darkness. Look at the fullness of humanity, the emptiness of your humanity. Listen to the word of God. "And after you have repented," said Jesus, "then and only then can you strengthen your brethren." There is no gospel to preach. There is no witness to give unless it comes out of the fullness of our humanity, in which case we praise God. It's the grace of God that sustains us. It's the infinite love of God that forgives us. It's a belief in God that makes sense and meaning in life. Take a second look then. "I give you thanks, Heavenly Father, for what you have hidden from the wise and the learned, from the successful, from the powerful, for the popular, for the prominent people. You have hidden. You have revealed to those who are simple, who are real, who are down to earth, and who know truly who they are." That is to experience the Word of God. Amen. You know, Tony, on this weekend, we're celebrating the anniversary of our country. America is first because we're the first to help others. We're first because we are the first to proclaim to the world that freedom is an essential value. We're the first to say to the world that we follow the words given to us. We are one people, many races, many colors, many, but we are one people. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We are created equal, and so we celebrate who we are as a country. Please stand and we'll sing "God Bless America" to celebrate our emblem.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains.